Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I hope you enjoyed that tonight. I got to tell you a little story about where this came out. I have a real good friend who is the head of a band at a Lutheran church in Springfield, Missouri, by the name of John Spagara. A good chesty name. Anyway, John and I have been together for almost 50 years, and I used to play in his dad's polka band. But John and I were talking, I said, wouldn't it be great to talk about the Nativity and break it down into its parts? And he says, you know, we're working on that, but we haven't fleshed it out yet. So he and I have been working for the last 2 weeks, talking about this and letting it come together. And we just finished it this week. But I thought, as we got into it, it was really interesting. And for those of members of our church, did you notice how many of my sermon points from the last 4 weeks are in this? Because it's important. For people that are visitors, I'll fill you in on some of that tonight, too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, tonight's the night, isn't it? Remember when we were children, that anticipation? You know, boy, I can't wait to open my presents. Well, and some of you had Santa, okay? So Santa always came, right? You know, it took me years before I caught on that when we got ready to go to church, my mom was always late. I thought, geez, is she trying to get ready? Well, little did I know Santa was coming while we were at church. You know, I never caught on either. In some houses, they don't believe in Santa. So many times, those presents are underneath the tree. That's torture for a little kid, isn't it? Of course, I have some friends I never could figure it out that could open up the gifts to see what was there and close them so nobody knew that they'd open them up. But it's that anticipation tonight that I think is really...
My son, Craig.
Gene, am I talking about you?
No, my son, Craig, he would open all the packages, tell everybody what they were getting, and nobody looked, none of the packages looked like they were open.
That's a talent, isn't it? Well,
my kids used to go into the bin, pull a package out, play with the game, wrap it up, and put it back.
Did you two really do that? Pam said no, but your son hasn't said anything.
I don't think there's any absolution for that.
Oh, jeez. Well, is getting and receiving presents the meaning of Christmas? Are you sure about that? Oh, of course, you know I'm asking that. What am I going to say?
Jesus was a gift.
It was a gift. Didn't we receive the most outstanding gift that you can get 2,000 years ago? So is it a little bit about receiving gifts? It's receiving gifts that are important, okay? Well, tonight is that night where we receive the Christ child. Now you notice I didn't say Jesus this time. What does it mean to be Christ? I mean, what does that word mean? I'm looking around, boy, I'm seeing a lot of frowns. It's in here. It means the anointed one. Both Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. It's the one anointed by God for salvation. And I think that's one of the things for us to really remember, that it was the Father who comes to take away our sins through the gift of his Son for our salvation. So tonight is the end of the celebration of our Advent wreath, and we're going to celebrate love this week. Now, I talked about love a little bit on Sunday, and no, I'm not going to rehash all I talked about Sunday. But isn't it interesting that the Christ candle, the one in the middle, comes during the week of love. Now think about that for a second. And we had in there again, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us that we might have everlasting life. Why isn't it called the Jesus candle? Why is it called the Christ candle? Well, the world had waited for centuries, millennia, for the Messiah to come. And tonight, we took an in-depth look at the story of that Messiah and what it meant when he came to us, not only to us, but to the people involved in the story. You know, if you ever read Micah, the very last book of the Old Testament, it's full of prophecy about tonight. In fact, I think for our last, for our next Bible study, we're going to look at that. Because it is one of the strongest books in the Bible, and it's the last one in the Old Testament. The Anointed One who comes. You know, when the salvation comes to us, is there a string attached to it? No. It's freely given, isn't it? What do we have to do to get it? Accept it and believe. Okay? It's not hard. It's not rocket science. But do we try and make it hard? Because it's so important. Well, it's got to be more difficult than that. No. You know? Jesus comes to us as that most precious gift that can be given to us. The love of God personified. And who came to us in the name of the Lord? The Word made flesh. John 1. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If I could have figured a way to get the Alleluia chorus from the Messiah tonight, this would be a perfect time for it, wouldn't it? But tonight, Jesus hasn't ascended his throne. He hasn't put on his mantle of lordship. He hasn't come as the Savior who's out walking among people. He's this little baby in the manger. A beautiful baby. And a baby who was born in the most meager way that's possible. For those of you who come from a Lutheran background or have studied the catechism, remember that when Jesus becomes a man, they call it the humiliation. Why? Because when Jesus gave up his divinity to become a man, he had to humiliate himself. Think about that for a second. Because he had to be a human being. He had to come down as a human being. He had to suffer the joys, the trials of being human. Because without that, there could be no salvation, there could be no sacrifice on the cross. And God knew that. Remember, as I've talked to you before about this, if you have salvation, especially in Jewish religion, there has to be a sacrifice. And remember I talked about some of the agape love? It's the love unconditional, but there has to be a sacrifice with it. So God sent himself to die for us. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself in the story, aren't I? Because that's not tonight. But doesn't God come to us with unconditional love? And here's the thing. Don't we go back to him with unconditional love? Now, remember, we talked about equals. God does love us equally. But the thing is, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Because he loves you. Remember what I read in Isaiah 43? You know, do not be afraid, for I am with you, because I love you. And that's not a corporate love. That's an individual love. So tonight, let's celebrate the birth of that babe. That babe who's lying in that manger. That baby who everybody is looking at and just cannot believe that this is the salvation of mankind. So is it all right to have that anticipation? Sure it is. Because the gift that we're anticipating was the birth of Jesus. And isn't that a great gift for Christmas Eve? My friends, may all of you have a blessed Christmas and a wonderful new year. I know many of you are trying to overcome problems in your life, but just know that because of that little baby, things are going to be okay. Because he is with you. May this gift of the peace of salvation, which comes to you this night, keep your hearts and minds on the Christ child. And the people of God respond with, Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Merry Christmas.